As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Liverpool may have dropped points to start the Premier League season this past weekend, but their tactical evolution may be heralding a broader trend for elite clubs globally. I'm Alex Abnos, and this is Soccer Every Day for Monday, August 8th. Okay, the English Premier League's first weekend is in the books, and we got a surprising result on the first full day of games. Liverpool drew 2-2 with Fulham at Craven Cottage on Saturday, and John Mueller is here, as he usually is on Mondays, to talk about something statistical or tactical or something maybe at the intersection of those two that's worth keeping an eye on in the weeks and months ahead. His focus today is on the two Liverpool players that scored in that draw, Darwin Nunez and Mohamed Salah. John, you have a piece about this in The Athletic today. It's linked in the show notes. And you start that piece with what I think is a really interesting observation about Mohamed Salah's role and how it's changed for Liverpool in the last season or so. So this is relatively recent. What did you find there?
On the very last day of last season, like right before the Champions League final, I wrote kind of a big article about Liverpool's evolution. And one of the things that I wrote about in there was how last season, Trent Alexander-Arnold, who, you know, is Liverpool's primary playmaker in the final third, has started coming inside a little bit more. Traditionally, Liverpool played with narrow wingers, right, and a false nine. So Salah would be kind of close to the top of the box and Roberto Firmino would be dropping. But now you have Trent coming inside a little bit and Salah was playing higher and wider, more like a traditional winger than an inverted winger who's going to dribble inside and shoot and score.
So
what that meant, though, was that he was winding up dribbling up the wing and like kind of playing crosses with his weaker right foot, which is not a thing that we've traditionally seen from Salah. And so this piece kind of continues on that and talks about how this season might kind of take advantage of that new look.
And a key part of that taking advantage is Darwin Nunez. He joined Liverpool this summer for Benfica, a 75 million euro transfer, potentially up to 100 million euros. That's about the same in US dollars, give or take a few mil. At least it is at the time of recording. It's their biggest signing of the offseason. He's a big figure, you know, pretty much an out and out striker. Different profile from Roberto Firmino, I think it's fair to say. How does he fit into this sort of evolving role for Salah?
Yeah, you know, we talked last week about player roles in this new data project that's going to drop on Wednesday.
Right.
And in the player roles like framework, Firmino would be a roamer, right? He's a guy who drops off the front line and kind of wanders between the lines and drags defenders around that way. Whereas Nunez is much more a finisher, a guy who stays between the center backs and, you know, can lead the line when Salah gets up the wing. And so that enables him to make different kinds of runs than you would usually see from a false nine like Firmino. So I ran a little bit of stats and confirmed that most assists from kind of wide wing areas, if you imagine a box from like the edge of the 6-yard box to the penalty spot and out to the wing, passes from that area are most often finished at the near post. And you can also go far post, you can pull it back. But they're most often scored at the near post. And if you have a false nine who's dropping off and doing stuff between the lines, he's not necessarily going to be in position to make that near post run.
Yeah.
But if you have a finisher who's between the center backs, like Darwin Nunez, he likes to get on the blind side of the defenders and then cut across real fast and finish those shots in the near post. And we saw twice in 2 minutes against Fulham, he made the exact same run, got the exact same shot. The first one was saved, the second one scored, and it was really remarkable, like kind of how practiced this already looked on day one of the season.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League One? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
So my next question is, of course, what can defenses do now that Liverpool have this kind of new look? What can defenses do to stop this? And American to American, of course, I have to contextualize this with Liverpool playing Crystal Palace this next weekend. It's possible Chris Richards will get on the field and instantly have to face you know, one of the most fearsome attacking front lines you could possibly get introduced to in the Premier League. What sort of like counteraction is there to this new look from Liverpool?
Well, the good news for Richards, I think, is that defending is a team effort, and there are like multiple ways that you can try to stop this. One thing is, you know, you could choose not to let Salah get up the wing. And I think most defenses would prefer to do that because having Salah crossing on his right foot is better than having him cutting inside and shooting on his left foot. So usually your left back is gonna let him get up the wing and just take your chances with that. So then behind the left back, you've got your left center back. He's often going to find himself drawn to Trent or to Jordan Henderson in that right half space. He's going to kind of move up that way, and he's not going to be in position to cut out those near post runs, those balls to near post runs. But if you're aware that this is a threat, you know, as a left center back, you can be a little bit more conservative and you can wait and cut off that cross rather than pushing up onto the guy in the half space. And then, of course, you've got your right center back, who's usually the guy who's going to be marking Nunez himself. And he has to be super alert that Nunez is, you know, hiding on his back shoulder, waiting to cut across, trying to get to the near post. And he's got to make that run at the same time. So any one of those three guys could theoretically stop this. But Liverpool has so many threats and so many directions that it's hard.
John's piece that delves more into this new look from Liverpool is up on The Athletic right now. Before we go, John, I want to ask more of an overall question that is not addressed in the piece, but something that came to mind. I can't help but notice that there's been a fair bit of movement of big physical sort of traditional quote-unquote center forwards, if you want to call them that. Recently, either this window or the window before, two teams that haven't traditionally really played with one. Obviously, like Erling Haaland to Man City is one. There's Lewandowski to Barcelona. You could maybe count Vlahovic to Juventus. After this era of the false nine, where everybody's moving around and positions are very interchangeable, are we seeing sort of a cyclical process here where big physical center forwards that occupy space and can draw defenders in what some might say is a traditional way, are those coming back into vogue? Are we going to see more really, really good, really elite teams play this way, similar maybe to what you were describing with Nunez?
I mean, definitely you can tell that story, and we're going to a lot this season, and we're going to discuss ad nauseum, like whether this is a real trend. But, you know, as recently as last season, the best teams in the world were still playing, you know, Man City didn't have a striker at all. Liverpool was frequently playing with the false nine. You know, Barcelona did have Aubameyang before Lewandowski, but like Xavi himself had said, this isn't a good fit for us. So it's a really new trend, and we'll see how it works. We'll see, you know, how these teams evolve, if it really helps them. You know that I'm skeptical that Haaland's going to make City better, although he did score two goals today. So, you know, we'll see. It's going to be a fun development to watch.
And I'll certainly be asking you more about it as the season goes on. John Mueller, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Before we go, your TV guide for today, as usual, all times are Eastern at 3 p.m. in the championship. We have West Bromwich Albion versus Watford. That'll be on ESPN Plus in the United States. there might not be any Daryl DK in this game for West Brom. Word as of Sunday is that he's picked up an injury, but there's no word officially on the extent of that yet. Later on tonight in Liga MX Femenil action, we have two games at 8 p.m. and 10 p.m., both of which are on Fox Deportes in the United States. The first of those is Juarez versus Atlas. The second is Club Tijuana versus Pachuca. This show is produced by Mike Zimmerman with help from John Hayes. You can get ad-free versions of the show by subscribing to The Athletic, and you can subscribe for $1 a month for 6 months by going to theathletic.com/soccer every day. Thank you so much for listening, and happy soccer to you all.